Amen. Let's lift our hands together and say, dear Father, name of your son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation, instruction, and exhortation as it comes by the way of teaching this morning. We believe and receive that our heart is an understanding heart, a receptive one, honest and good, for the word of God to fall in there and bring forth fruit that glorify your name. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. In this session, he is glorified as we are built up by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just for our sakes, but those who hear us in the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 16. Now, we want to, we've looked at why it's important for us to use our words. We talked about strong faith. And I don't want you to pay very good attention here. Sometimes you need to know why. And we talk about strong faith, weak faith. And we said that's when you find a believer, he's not walking in the light as he should. All right. Now, in Matthew 16, let's just go through the basics now. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked a question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And we saw they had various opinions. Some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asks, who do you say that I am? Now, with a name calling and identification is a vital fact of the scriptures. Name calling, identification. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, pay good attention here. We have, the Bible opens up with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and I've told you, creation doesn't necessarily mean something out of nothing. The word bara doesn't mean that. It means to put things in order, put things in shape. You know, for example, if I say, oh, create a space for me there. I'm not saying that bring a space out of nothing. I'm actually saying rearrange the place, okay? That's the word bara. If I say, can we just create a committee? For example, there's a time we were doing some, I mean, as the camp meetings, go over the years, we've changed, we've added committees, people that will work differently, and we've created, you say we created it, but we didn't create out of nothing, all right? We actually just made things more functional. So Genesis doesn't have a creation story. It's not a science story. There's no point trying to argue with anybody whatsoever that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. You're going to look stupid when you do that because you are trying to use, like a normal day, you're trying to use a biology textbook to explain mathematics. You're going to look very stupid. It's not a science book. The people who wrote it were not scientists. They didn't have anything they needed to prove. So to write about the creation story wasn't necessary because they didn't have anything to prove. But what they're writing about is God's purpose, God's order. All right? And so he says, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? Which is the word bara. And it says the earth. That's how you know it's an order story. It's a reordering story. It says the earth that he's creating was already in existence. So the earth was without form or void, which is the word tohu wabohu. It means out of order. You know, I remember back then, my mom, we used to say something, and I'll probably talk about it now. So we had the way the sitting room, living room was, when they were around, it looked holy, precious, and glorious. But when they go to work, we turn it to whatever we like. And everybody takes their own corner, depending on your age. If you're in Africa, you know what I mean. The senior one takes the bigger space. The small, what are you doing there? You know, so sometimes we start to play table soccer. Who knows table soccer? You know table soccer? All right, where you have number 10, number 2. So we play table soccer. Some will do all sort of stuff. So usually we have someone who stays at the gate, who lets us know who is coming. So the moment you see the car from down the street, they run inside, so-and-so has come. Either my dad or my mom. All right? My mom's only one that gives you the greater fear. My dad's one, he doesn't come in directly. You know, when he gets to the compound, he goes around, so you have time to worry. But my mom comes directly. So you need to move very fast. But this particular day, whoever we put at the gate decided to go somewhere. It was a bad day in the office. And so right there, and it was the worst day because we were actually playing real football in the sitting room. So we saw the door open, thinking it was our spy. It was my dad. So everybody was like, so he saw the tohu wabohu that we have turned his living room. Of course, you know that we believe and we receive the ministry, fivefold ministry. And my mom doesn't do fivefold ministry, she does diversities of operations. Anything that is available at that point, she will minister to you and you will never forget it. You know, so that what we just did is without form or void. To turn something around from what it was meant for. So he now says, the earth was without form and void, which means things were not the way he wanted. Okay? And he says, and the Spirit of God. Now I want you to notice that word. You see, the Hebrew of that word, Spirit of God, is our focus this morning. And I want you to pay very good attention. It's the word ruach, which actually can mean breath. Or wind. Breath or wind. So we can say the wind of God, you'll be right. You can say the breath of God, you'll be correct. Pay attention to that because it's going to come out useful shortly. Moved over the face of the waters. Okay? Now don't forget the waters there are waters of chaos. Because he said the earth was without form and void. So the Spirit of God moved over chaos. You can call it chaotic waters. You can call it dark waters. Yeah, you'll be correct. And he says, and the Lord said. Now notice his first action was to speak. The Lord said. If they ask you, what is God's first action in the Bible? You will say he spoke. That shows you the importance of speaking. He said, let there be light. And the Bible says there was light. There was no light till he said so. Let there be light, and there was light. And the Bible says he saw the light. And now there are different ways to look at it. He is also the light. But the point is, if he is the light, which he is, he never came onto the scene before he spoke. So he spoke. And there was light. And the Bible says he saw the light. And the light was good. Now, this is some play of words. The Bible, one of the ways you have to understand the Bible is written in a literary language. It's not like God saw it and said, wow, this looks good. The word saw there is an Hebrew word that means to make provision. To make a provision. And it's where you have the word Jireh, Jehovah sees, right? That happened to Abraham when he said, the Lord has seen. It doesn't mean the Lord's seen something for the first time. It means the Lord has provided. So some people call it my provider. Basically, it means providence, which means that you've put something ahead of time. So ahead of time, you say the Lord saw it, and he called it good. Now, when you say good, right? Good is not the opposite of bad. Good, for example, if someone says, I have, let me put it this. A fellow says, oh, I have put the car, or I have, put the car in the car garage. You say, oh, that's good. What you meant is it's proper. That's where it should be. So the word good means this is proper. It's the exact opposite of chaos. It was chaotic. Then he called the light and he said, it is good. This is proper. Which means God's order and properness is light. Light. And he saw the light, and it is good. But he didn't stop there. Then the Bible says he separated the light from the darkness. All right? And then he called. Notice, there is a consistent word there. He called the night, or the light, sorry, day. And he called the darkness night. He called it. Now, in the Hebrew, which is the baseline language there, it's the word quara. Q-A-R-A. It means to name something. To name. Now imagine if all of us here, we have no name. You know, in the boarding house, there's one name that is above all names. The senior will just say, that's government college man, just say, one boy, you know, you have to respond. Say, one boy. Say, yes, please. So you just say, one boy. So everybody will say, yes, please. And we're all running. It's a way to show power. One boy. Yes, please. Everybody's running there. So they changed it to somewhere and became mean, more mean. One goat. Now, I didn't like it. How can you say one goat? You can say one fool. And then you say, you're not a goat. They will show you how to become a goat. But they will call out, one boy. You know, so everybody responds. But see, that's really not a normal life. Okay? There's not about nobody called one boy. But if they call your name, you respond. You say, they call you Shagun. You say, yeah. Why? Because that is your identity. So the naming is to give identity. And in the Bible, it's not just to identify, it's also to show function and purpose. So name is meant to be for function and purpose. It's not a mere tag. You know, some people put mere tag. Some guys will make very good shoes. Very good shoes. They put made in Italy. And it's in Abao. Do you know why they do it? Because of you and I. If they are written made in Abao, you'll have said, no. I want something from the abroad. So they now put the abroad there for you. You see? So, but that's not what we're talking about here. It means functional. Function. Something that is functional. You know, there was a guy who bought a phone on the traffic, in traffic. And he got the phone. They wrote their phone. But when he got it, it did not function as a phone. It eventually became a case where he could put his keys or something like that because he was in the phone. A guy once brought us a sound system. I was passing anybody then, you know the story. And we didn't know what was wrong. We kept using the thing just going, oh. You know, it's like the voice of the sound system of the, what do you call it, the amplifier, it overwhelmed all of us. But the guy told us he got it from the very best electronic shop. And all of us were ignorant. So I was saying, So we now said, what do we do? Hey, we didn't want to touch it because it's a special. You know, he told us it's so special. So we didn't want to touch it. I said, what's wrong with this thing? And somebody said, should we open it? You want to open something we bought with such expensive, that's so expensive? We didn't know we were being fooled. So a brother, Nick Constructor is his name, he came around because I trust him. He said, let me see. I could trust him to open it. I said, he can open it. Then he opened it. We bought a dustbin. It was just one single wire. No wonder it was amplifying differently. He said, Pastor, in Yoruba, I said, what are you buying? It meant they swindled you. I said, my God. So they put amplifier on it, but it wasn't function. But the Bible naming is for function. You see what it is, then you name it. You see what it can do, then you name it. Okay? So, what is light? Light makes things manifest. The first thing you see, day exposes darkness. It's a functional name. Day exposes darkness. So he will call, he will make, then he will call. He will make, then he will call. He will make, then he will call. Do you know, he also gave darkness a name. He gave darkness a name. So henceforth, We will call darkness what he calls it. He didn't, don't forget, darkness was there. Darkness is disorder. Darkness is what it ought not to be. But God gave it a name, which means I must have the right name. I mustn't call what God hasn't done as his work. I must name things properly. He called the darkness night. He called it that way. So I must learn to call things the way he calls it. So he calls the darkness, which is chaos, night. So night, chaos, darkness, they're interwoven. He calls it. Now, don't forget this part too, because it's a couple of things that he, in 26, says, let us make man. Now, that looks like, let us make man. Then it says, in our image. So, which means, he gave a function. When we say man is the image of God. That's the name. And after our likeness. So he said, let them have dominion. Now, don't forget, the having dominion proceeds from the naming. So image is not first a function, it is first a being. That's who you are. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then he repeated it and he made man in his image. Male and female created he them. So he calls man. He repeated it again in Genesis chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. So he repeats it, which means he's calling it. So if I say, who am I? I am the image of God. That is naming. I am the image of God. I am the image. Image doesn't refer to a replica or something like that. Image simply means a representation. It's used in temples where the unseen being is worshipped, referred to by a concrete. Alright? So that's what it is. So God calls. Now notice also in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Quick one, because you in church? So the first thing is, God calls things. Don't forget that. He calls things. He names them. He calls them. He calls them in their functionality. Now, it wasn't just God who calls things. In Genesis chapter 2, we see Adam also called the name of every creature, 19. Now, there's a mistake somewhere there. People assume that what Adam was doing, he was naming things. No. Creation had taken place. Adam is simply saying what God said. That's what he's doing. He's simply calling what God said. What God says it, he said it, it was so. What God said it, he said it, it was so. What God said it, he said, he says it, it was so. So, we must also learn to call things out. Call it out the way God calls it. What is the name God gave to this? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to call it that same way. But that's not all. In Genesis chapter 2, now, the Bible says, here, in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh thereof. Unfortunately, you know, this has been used for marriage. Nothing wrong in teaching about marriage, but this verse is not marriage. And people say, I found my missing rib. If your rib is missing, get to a doctor quickly or attend a healing service or both. Now, it says, it closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, now the word rib here means a side of a house. Okay? With the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. The word make there is a general word in the Old Testament for building something. It's where the same Greek word used for it, oikodomio, to build, to build, to build. So, in the minds of those who are reading this, there is a building going on. So he says, he built the woman and brought to the man. And then the man said, notice, this is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. Something is consistent. Everyone is talking. Everyone is talking. This is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. Of course, that has nothing to do with a marital partner, even though that could also be involved. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh simply means we are identical, or we come from the same source. That's what it means. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, no, chapter 5, David's, Genesis 29:14, first of all, Laban said to Jacob, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And I'm sure they didn't have an homosexual relationship. What he's saying is, we are identical. We came from the same source. Alright? We came from the same source. We have the same purpose. That's what he's saying. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David's, the nation of Israel came to David, said, look, you are bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We're going to make you king over all the tribes. What they're saying is, we're identical. You belong to us. We belong to you. So while this is true, that it could also be applicable, right, to marriage, but that's not what he's talking about. He's simply saying the man and the woman in creation have the same identity. In procreation, no. In marriage, no. But in creation, they have the same identity. Now, basically, if you notice something, Genesis 2:20 and 21 is just a repeat of Genesis 1:26-28. In the image and likeness of God. If you say Genesis 1:26-28, you say, male and female created he them as his image. Genesis 2:20 and 21, flesh and bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, it means we are identical. So, now, notice what is key here. Don't forget that. And that's the fact that there is a naming going on. Things are identified by naming it. Say it. This is what it is. So, bone of my bone. Later on in Genesis chapter 3, after the debacle of sin, you discover again, that should be verse 20 or so, you have Adam called Eve. There was no Eve in Genesis 2 or Genesis 3, the mother of all living. That is, things are named before they function. Things are named according to their function. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, when Eve had Cain and Abel, she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So she named him, I have gotten a man. Of course, when Cain killed Abel, in verse 25, she had Seth. She said, I've gotten another. So there is a naming. Their words meant something. In Genesis chapter 5, when Noah was born, when they gave birth to Noah, they identified purpose in verse 29. And it says, this is Noah. He will bring relief from the curse that God had brought to the ground. They called his name Noah. And that name resonates throughout the Bible because that name simply means rest. It also means resting place in another form. So, it's in God's nature and character, let's say, a consistent attribute we see of God to call things and name them. To call things and name them. In the midst of darkness, he called light. To call things and name them. Genesis 2:19, Genesis 2:20, Genesis 3:23. So 3:20, sorry. He calls it and names it. Genesis 4:17. Genesis 4:25. And 26. He calls things and names them. Notice Genesis 11 also, and verse 9. When men decided to build what is called a temple complex, a ziggurat, call it a tower, he said, this is Babel. So he's not just naming the good stuff, he's also naming the bad stuff. He calls it Babel. He gave that name, which is where you have confusion, and then we have Babylon. So he calls it his name. Don't forget, the reason why God gave us his word is so that we have what to say. So if he calls it, he wants you to also call it. So he calls it Babylon, which is a system outside his own system. And he calls it confusion. So which means anything outside of Christ, or outside of God's plan, pardon me, same thing, is confusion. That is what he calls it. So speaking is a continual action. He calls it. He calls it. Don't forget, when he called Israel out, before getting to Abraham, he said, you are unto me, Exodus 19:5, a chosen people, a kingdom of priests. He said that before they did anything. Because that's what he does. He calls things. He calls it. So, when it comes to God's purpose in the earth, words precede their fulfillment. That is why his purpose and plans are in words. Now we get to see them, but they first came by words. Now, if words were not important and were not authoritative and powerful, God will not use words. He uses words. Of course, it's all powerful, so doesn't have to use words. But he uses words so that we'll know how to use words. So there's a continual thing. Jeremiah 32 verse 9, same thing. He calls them. He calls them. Now, when he calls you, he wants you to say the same thing. When he calls darkness, he wants you to say the same thing. So what God says, I'll say it too. Are you here? He calls Abraham. And he called Abraham a father of many nations. Now, Abraham came from a background of idol worship, no doubt. Genesis chapter 11 and 12. And Abraham is called Abram, assumed father. Then God calls him and says, your name shall no longer be Abram, but Abraham. Said the same thing about Sarah. Now, he picked that up too, that he named his son after God's promise. And that goes on and on and on and on. Which means these individuals knew how to walk in God's plan. You call out. What God has called it, you will call it too. What God has called it, you will call it too. What God has called it, you will call it. So listen carefully. Which means that as important as sight is, God created man not to primarily live by sight or by his senses. He will live by what God has called it. He will live by what God has called it. The guys who made the Tower of Babel did not call it Babel. They gave it another name. They said, let us build a tower, okay, unto the Lord, unto heaven. That's what they called it. He called it Babel. So you can always have what men will say and what God says. What men will say and what God says. There was what Abraham was called. There was what God called Abraham. There was what Sarai was called. There was what God called him. So you would always have diverse identification of different things. But you must stick with what God says it is. So it's not just you. Whatever God says it is, so it is. If he says it's darkness, it's night, that is what I call it. So God calls so that we should call. So it's in him to call. Notice that the psalmist, in the senses, in Psalm 8, it's been said in David, he said, I looked at the heavens and the works of your fingers, and I saw the sun, moon, and I said, Lord, what is man That's what he said. What is man that you are mindful of him? Now, the usual word man, listen well now, simply means made of dust. So you don't need revelation to call man, man. So what is man that you are mindful of him? Nor the son of man that you visit him. So he speaks from what he can view. Rather, people say we see not all things when I speak. So what's this? Then he says, you have made him. Notice the difference now. You have made him. So he switches from the senses to what God said. You have made him a little lower than Elohim. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. And you have put him over the works of your hands. So he switched from man is dust, frail, mortal, which is true. And he calls out God's plan. You've made him little and angels. Then he says, you've crowned him with glory and honor. And that means God put man over the works of his hands. So we learn to call it the way he calls it. We learn to call it the way he calls it. So go back to Matthew 16. Are you in church? So calling things that be not as though they were is actually walking in God's plan. Calling things that be not as though they were is walking in God's plan. So in Matthew 16, here Jesus said, who do they say that I am? And they gave different opinions. That's not new. Men always have different opinions. Then he says, who do you say that I am? If it's not important, he wouldn't have asked them. And then he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed thou servant by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed unto you, but my Father is in heaven. Then he says, I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth, he's bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, he's loose in heaven. So he gave him what to say. This is what you say about the church. This is what you say about you. This is what you have said about me. Now this is what you will say about the church. So what do I say about the church? I say the gates of hell could not prevail. That's what God says. What do I say about the church? The church has the keys of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Whatever the church binds on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever the church loses on earth is loosed in heaven. That is what I say. So he speaks to us so that we would have what to say. Now, why is that important? Don't forget, it's important because we are going to be faced with different scenarios. The first thing we are going to see in life generally, we're going to see chaos. Things wouldn't appear the way they are. In fact, the writer of Hebrews say, we don't see all things under his feet. So we'll see chaos. We'll see things out of order. Not like my story, you see the living room now in football pitch. But what does God do? He calls out. So when I'm faced with a disorderly situation, my first tool are my words. He calls out. Now, he doesn't just call out. We don't just call out thinking and wishing things were so. Nope. We call it out because that is what God says it is. So, I call the things that be not as though they were. Now, we said yesterday in Romans 4:17, it's Abraham who believes. So who called out? We said, well, it could be God. Let's assume it's God who calls the things that be not as though they were. But what did Abraham say in giving glory to God? He says exactly what God said. So, which means, if God calls the things that be not as though it is, as were, I will take his words and call it that same way. So, I will use my words to glorify God by calling the things that be not, appears not so, as though they were, according as God has spoken. So, whatever God calls it, so it is. So, I can boldly say, I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Now, this is in the midst of, it's not appearing so. It's not looking like it. Where you have, your experiences seem to be different. Now, the first thing is to call what God calls. I say, I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. So we said yesterday, to build a strong faith, to build strong faith, you have to understand the realities of the word of God. And it's not just an information that is available, it is necessary. So my use of words is not just okay, it's actually necessary. Okay? So we said, pay attention now. So to call things. And you know, because our culture now, we're not really, people give names just in hope. A guy called Millionaire from Bath. And he's not a millionaire, you know, and stuff like that. And some people call themselves Kings of London. Yesterday, over 10 men. 10 men. They drew the gate. I've told you their name is Dosinombari. They won't go beyond 10 and 11. Because when you take a glory that does not belong to you, you will suffer for it. How did I get here now? Lord have mercy. Get me back. Take me to the place where I first met you. Okay, good. Yeah. So you need to know how to say it the way God says it. It's not enough to add it in your head. Imagine if God's word is just on his heart. Then just saying, Say, oh Lord, He says it. He communicates his plans even to darkness. He says it. So, we said, Jesus had, he said who he was. I love what Pastor Chris often says. Oh yeah, kill me. He said, no one spoke like Jesus. He spoke so daring. In the midst of situations, he always said who he was. Imagine, he's on the cross. The grimmest situation. Just before he got to the cross. The grimmest and the darkest hours. They brought him to Caiaphas. And he said to Caiaphas, right here, he said, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And all that. You guys say, get upset more than that. That's what's going to happen. When he got on the cross. And then that guy said, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And you say, you see my position. You're asking me to remember you. Are you even a good person? Should be praying. Are we not in the same shoes? He said, today I say to you. He didn't say, like in mind, you're right. No, he spoke. Today I say to you, you will be with me. That's what he said. And Peter told us in Acts 2 that when Jesus, you know, when he got on the cross, he didn't say, oh, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, the truth of the matter is I told you about the codified language of writing. What the writer is saying is go back to Psalm 22 and see what happened. David spoke himself out of it. The end point of Psalm 22 was a seed shall serve him. It shall be declared for a generation. So Jesus spoke on the cross. When he got to the grave, he kept speaking. You will not suffer your Holy One to suffer corruption. You will not abandon your Holy One to suffer corruption. He kept speaking. He spoke till he rose from the dead. All hail. Hallelujah. That is God's character. He kept speaking. He kept speaking. So in the book of John, we saw that he said, I am the bread of life. So that we can say, he is the bread of life. I have the bread of life. I've eaten of the bread of life. And I live forever. He said, I am the light of the world. What do? We call him the light of the world. We call him our light. We say we don't walk in darkness. He said, he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So what do I say? I don't walk in darkness. Just like Adam. Whatever God said, he said it. I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. What else did he say? He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I will say, he is a good shepherd. What does he do? He said, I give to them eternal life. John 10:28. And they will never perish. So I say, I have eternal life. And I will never perish. It's not good enough to have it in your head. Because God did not put it in his own head. He said it. He said it so that you will say it. And I'm not ashamed of what he says. I have no doubt whether it's going to come to pass or not. I know it is so. He said, they will never perish. Said, my Father, who's greater than I, said, nothing, can snatch them out of my hands. So I say, I am unsnatchable. I have to say that. Because he said it so that I will say it. It's in the nature of God and his dealings with us for us to call things the way he calls it. I am unsnatchable. I say in John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me will not die. I say, I have received the resurrection life and I will never die. I say that. You know when you say that, your mind goes, why is it like that? Because it's no use to it. It's like if they give you, if they tell you there's this name you used to have that you never knew, they now give you that new name. It will take you a while. So, what's your name? You mentioned the other one. Oh yeah, I'm also, you know. But after a while, you get used to it. You get used to your name such that, just like your name now, if they just call Shegu, without knowing who called you, say, you look back because you are used to it. That's how children also get used to words. But if somebody says, Bode, I won't respond. If I respond, you say, maybe one of my great-grandmothers told me I bought it. Maybe that's the reason why I respond. But I know that my great-grandmother is not around, so I'm not sure anybody can call me that name. I don't have that name. I'm just saying that. But if I hear another name, I won't respond because I'm not used to that. So if someone says, all of you sinners, I won't feel bad because I'm not used to that name. I'm not used to it. So I say, can't you hear me? My son say, Tunde, and I don't answer. Say, did you hear what I was calling you? Ah, are you okay? Do I look like the Tunde you are talking about? So I say, come out! Come out! You are here today! You are here today! And you know you need to dedicate your life to Christ. You know if Jesus will come now, you will not go. And the guy is looking at you with one eye. I'm still talking to you. You say, you're not talking to me. I say I'm talking to you. Change the name. Then I'll answer you. Hallelujah. Then I'll answer you. So I don't respond to a call that doesn't belong to me. Are you here? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Then in John 14:16, I'll pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth will the world cannot receive because he's not. You know him, for he dwells with you, shall be in you. So what do I say? The Father is in me. And the Father is in me forever. You know, as I say that, there will be contrary opinions, different doctrines, different teachings. Some people will try to explain it away that, well, Jesus wasn't really talking like he will be in you forever like that. He's not like that, like that, like that, like that. Stick with your double confession. I stick with my single, unyielding confession. That's what he said, and that's what I'm saying. The Father is with me forever. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He said, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes care of. The one that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes, corrects, so that you bear more fruit. So I say, I am the fruit-bearing branch of Christ. I am the fruit-bearing branch of Christ. I say it consistently. Now don't forget, if I see darkness and I see chaos, I simply say what God says. I simply say what God says. I call out what God says. And you see, the word kara in the Hebrew is a definite statement. Unconditional acknowledgement and naming. So I am definite. So we said, how do I build strong faith? In Romans 4, he said, Abraham was not weak in faith. Which means I can be weak in faith. And how do you become weak? Your diet. Your diet, the things you are feeding on. You are feeding on different things. Feeding on stuff. You fed on psychology so much. Psychology. And they say, you know, people who are born in they are called Capricornites. So you call yourself, I'm a Capricornite. Then the one that is cancer to say what? I'm a Cancerian. Tarius, I'm a Tarian. Malian. Say, I'm a this one. So you said this so much. You say, you know, we choleric people, the way we respond, we phlegmatic people, we sanguine people, the way we... So you said it so much. So you are now weak in faith. Because you are strong elsewhere. You are strong in ideologies. You are strong. And listen, I told you something. You see, sometimes you could have it in your head. John Wesley once said that it appears the devil has given to the church something that resembles faith, but it's not faith. He calls it mental assent. Where you will agree in your head, but you actually won't act on it. It will be right there in your head. You can explain it. Sometimes, you know, I have some preachers come to me. Some of them work as well in church. And then they say, Pastor, so, so, and so. I tell them, if someone from your church should come to you, a member of your fellowship or a member of your church, what would you tell the person? Usually, they have the answers. What would you tell the person? You tell the person, now you say it to yourself. Don't be a cook that dies in the kitchen of hunger. Right? Make that meal and eat it. Now listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. Some of them are in the music ministry. I tell them, you sang this song. It has blessed us. Now sing it to yourself. Sing it to yourself. My friend Larry Amoson taught us something years back. He said, you know, we should learn to speak God's word in a tape. So we speak it in a tape. You hear yourself speak God's word, not to people to preach. Then you will not play it to your own hearing. You need to hear it yourself. Sometimes you need to hear your own teaching and don't be confused. Sometimes you need to do that. So people become weak in faith. Very weak. They've allowed their experiences. Like Abraham. Abraham got to a point, he had to tell God, you know what? Can I just take Eliezer? He was recommending to God. Can I just take Eliezer? God said, come, let me show you something. Come. He said, it's out of your loins. Kings will come out of you. So, you know, it therefore makes sense to talk to the right person. If he had talked to his best friend, bestie, I know God told me something. I'm not even sure it's God anymore. What do you think? It's been a while. I've not had a son. And the bestie says, well, I was going to tell you. When you were saying God's word, By my own experience, I think it doesn't matter how it comes, as long as it's a child. Me too. Me too. You know, I got born again before you. Yeah? Me too. Elijah said, I've been looking for this cancer. An easy way out of faith. This cancer, thank you. You are such a blessing. You are such a blessing. Such a blessing. You know, they say we are deficient in by nature, sufficient by association. Thank you for your association has made me deficient more. He talked to God. Hallelujah. Which means, when it appears like your faith is going weak, hear God's word. Don't hear human opinion. Hear God. Feed on the word again. Smith Wigglesworth calls the word of God faith food. He says, feed your faith. Feed your faith. Hear the word of God again and again. You know what? Do you know that God kept talking to Abraham about the same thing? You need to hear the same thing again. You don't need a new revelation. You now be, now rather than feed your faith, you now be looking for a teaching that explains your own belief. Someone says, you see, some things are written, some things are not written. I was saying it. And he said, you know what? He's the God that does this. And so say, So there was a brother in our ministry. He said, You are not hearing God's word. So your faith is weakened. Weakened. But you know, Abraham kept hearing it. He said, because he had said to him, a father of many nations have I made you. And Abraham began to call the things that be not as though they were. The Bible says he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his body, which means his experiences were there. What he was seeing did not align with what God said. But the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded. Say, I'm fully persuaded. I don't think I heard. Say, I'm fully persuaded. And what God said, he was able to perform. He called the things that be not as though they were. He called it out. So we said, how do we build strong faith? The realities of the word of God. You must feed on it consistently. Remember what I said. You don't outgrow the basics. The basics. What are those realities? The reality of the integrity of God's word. The reality of the integrity of God's word. The reality of the integrity of God's word. I say God's word is working. I say God's word is working. I say God's word is working. His promises never fail. I say God's word is working. His word is fulfilled. His word is true. His word is yes. His word is true. Luke 1:37, no word of God is void of power. It will accomplish everything he says. Isaiah 55 says the same thing. No word proceeds out of the mouth of God and returns to him void. So therefore I say, like Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform it. I therefore say, if he has said it, it's working and it's coming to pass. The reality of the integrity of God's word. I hear it again and again and again and again. I also say the reality of my redemption in Christ. I have been redeemed from the enemy. Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemer of the Lord say, we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I say I have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I say, Colossians 1:14, I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in his blood. I have forgiveness of sins. I have forgiveness of sins. I might not feel like it. I might not have the feeling around me. Men may not even agree with it, but I'm saying it because God said it. I have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:6 says, according to the riches of his grace is what he gives freely. So I say, I have forgiveness of sins. The reality of our new creation in Christ, our new birth. I am a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I am born of the Spirit of God. 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 So don't forget, we said, if someone calls another name, you will not respond. Because that is not who you are. I am born of the Spirit of God. I am born of the Spirit of God. Therefore, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, I know to yield to the Spirit of God. I also walk in the Spirit of God. I walk the reality of our new creation in Christ. Glory to God. Reality of our, the reality of the integrity of the word. The reality of our redemption in Christ. The reality of our new creation, our new birth in Christ. The reality of our righteousness in Christ. Romans 4 and 25. He was delivered for our offenses, raised up for justification. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say, I have peace with God. In Jesus, I have peace with God. I'm freely justified by His grace. Romans 5, 17, I've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Therefore, I reign in life by Jesus Christ. I say I reign in life. I reign in life. I reign in life. I am not defeated. I reign in life by Jesus Christ. I've got the gift of righteousness. So I reign in life by Jesus Christ. Don't forget, it doesn't work because you taught it. You see, it doesn't work because you read it. That's not how God did it. It works because you said it. It's good to meditate. You have to. You're going to read the word, but you now have to put it to action. You say it. You say it. I believe and receive that God's word is always working. 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 I'm who He says I am. I'm what He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. The reality of our fellowship with the Father. I have fellowship with the Father. I've been called into a union with the Father. I have fellowship with the Father. John 14 and 20 says, I will know the Father in Christ, Christ in me, I am in Christ. The Father has come to make His home with me and is at home in me. I have fellowship with the Father. I have fellowship with the Father. I have fellowship with the Father. 1 John 1:3 says our fellowship is with the Father. I have fellowship with the Father. I have fellowship with the Father. An unbroken, eternal fellowship with the Father. Keep feeding it. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. When you see that your faith is weak, go back to those basic realities. I have fellowship with the Father. An unbroken union with the Father. I have the indwelling of the Spirit. I have the indwelling of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I therefore say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Listen, Paul had taught them. He had taught that church. You obviously know that wasn't the first time they would hear it. But you know, oftentimes we forget it. You forget it. People forget it. So he said, know ye not. That means he wasn't seeing it in their action and in their speech. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I therefore say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:14 says, I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit. I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I therefore say, I am already chosen by God. I'm identified by God. The Spirit of God is my identification mark. I am sealed by the Spirit. I'm sealed by the Spirit. John 14 and 16 says the Spirit lives, walks, and abides in me forever. I feed on those things. I feed on them. I feed on them. So when I discover my faith is getting weak, I feed on those realities. Just like God reminded Abraham again and again. You remind yourself. You remind yourself. What else? I have authority in the name of Jesus. 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 Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes shall be damned. These signs are for them that believe. In my name, I have His name. 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 I've got authority in the name of Jesus. You know what He told them in Luke 10:19? He said, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I say, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I've got authority in the name of Jesus. I've got authority in the name of Jesus. I've got authority over sickness and disease. I've got authority over all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Why does God say those things to us? So that we can say it too. Be bold to say who he says you are. I love how E.W. Kenyon says, he says, I dare say. So I dare say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I dare say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I dare say, I'm kept by the power of God forever. I dare say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I dare say, I don't walk in confusion. I dare say, I don't walk in darkness. I dare say. You must speak it boldly before the devil, before the world, before darkness. Boldly affirm God's word. Boldly speak God's word. Writer of Hebrews said, he has said, so that we can whisper it. No. He has said, so that we can just talk around it. He has said, so that we might boldly say. Boldly say. Boldly say, I dare say, I dare say that the word of God is working now. I dare say I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed forever. I dare say I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I dare say I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I dare say I have an eternal, unbroken, inseparable, union with the Father. I dare say, I have authority in the name of Jesus. I dare say, the Holy Ghost is here to stay forever. I dare say. Sit down. So you respond to opposing views. Some of them will come from the pulpits. You respond. A dear friend tells me this, told me this years back. He said, you know, the shield of faith is to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. He said, it also includes sermons. To quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The darts of the enemy will bring in doubts. You're just afraid. You're just not sure. Darts. The scripture is actually a fiery darts. Fierce. Suddenly you are just unsettled. Suddenly you are just not sure. He said, you now raise the shield of faith. What's the shield of faith? To say what God has said. To say what he has said. To again say what he has said. I say what he has said and I repeat it again. You know, one day I was still a younger Christian, still young. Someone was talking about, you know, holiness. And he was saying, I just said, he said, well, he has called me holy already. I said it boldly. He has called me holy already. I'm a saint already. I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus already. I'm holy. He that sanctified and those that sanctified all are one. For this cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm already in the Lord. I'm already in Christ Jesus. So hey, you're not talking to me. Now, I'm not saying you cannot correct me, but correct me in Christ. It's in Christ that you're going to do it. So I will raise the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So where am I? When my faith appears weak, Brother Hagin will say, and the victory seems lost, I go back to those truths. I feed my faith in them. I feed my faith on those realities. On those realities. On those realities. Go to Mark 11 quickly. And verse 22. Here's Jesus. He's going the way to Bethany. And they saw a fig tree. Had a significance. Talks about Israel. What was going on. Then he talked to the fig tree and he said, no man eats of thee again forever. Fruit of thee again forever. Now listen, the truth of the matter is that the significance of that was about Israel and what you can call the Old Testament. But you see, that one is there. And we can explain that one. But the fact was that he spoke. And what he said came to pass. One is not the against the other. He said it. And you know, they went to the temple. When they got to the temple again, what happened? He saw those who were money changers. And then, you know, he drove them out according to John's account. He said, my father's house is made of house of merchandise. And he went on and they said, the zeal of father's house has consumed him. Then he said, destroy this temple. Actually, the construction of the Greek should be, you destroy this temple, which means you have put it out of use. After 3 days, I will raise it again. You know, he said it. He didn't think it, oh. He said it. That's how we know that he made it happen. He didn't think about it. He wasn't thinking, in mind, don't worry, after 3 days. So what did he say? Don't worry, don't worry. Did you say anything? No. I didn't say anything. No. You guys are good. He said, you destroy this temple, after 3 days, I will raise it again. Do you know that? His disciples heard it, and they must have felt he's mad. That's why John gave us that account. John said that it was when he rose from the dead, that they now believed what he was saying. They didn't understand it. When he left there, they were now coming back, looking at Mark's account. They now saw that tree, and Peter said, Pastor, Pastor, the tree you cursed has dried up. He's surprised. So he said to them, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know, he didn't say, it dried up. Master, it dried up. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, maybe we should say it like this. Praise God, okay. Whosoever shall say. It's good to say. You can see. Then the worker say, unto this mountain. They say, look at it again. What really happened? It dried up. Be thou removed and cast to the sea. Give me a few minutes. And then, he's meditating. And shall not doubt in his heart. Yes, shall not doubt in his heart. And whatever he says will come to pass. He shall have. No. Jesus answered him immediately. That means that was the principle that he used. He wasn't guessing. He said, have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. How many times did he use the word say? The first thing he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. I say unto you. Which means he wants us to remember it. Remember it. Don't just remember it, say it too. So, what do I do? I say what Jesus has said. That whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. I remind myself of what Jesus said. Now, look at it again. Whosoever shall say, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. So that Mark will remind you, in Mark 5, if you're reading it together, there was a woman with the issue of blood, we said last night, who heard of Jesus. Then she said, the Greek actually said, she kept saying, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, Jesus is there. The crowds are thronging him. People are right there. But you know what? The woman went ahead and touched his clothes. You know, that's the difference between mental assent and real faith. Mental assent will say, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. But we'll not even go near the clothes. Mental assent, I was saying that John Wesley said, the devil seems to have given us a substitute. It looks like it. I will say, it is true, the Bible says so. It is true in the word of God. But you know what? I'm not going to act on it. Mental assent looks like faith. It looks like real faith. Why? Because both the person who walked in faith and the one who did not, they both know the same thing. You both know the same thing. You both heard God say it. You both read the text. But one person dared to act on God's word. Mental assent looks like faith. Because you will see it in scripture. Have you seen people say, well, I know it's in the word of God. I know Jesus does this, but it is not so in my case. Mental assent admires the word. It will preach it. It will explain it, but it will not act upon it. The woman said it. She said it. And what did she do? She did it. I'm bold to speak God's word. And I'm bold to act upon it too. I'm bold to speak God's word. If you believe, you will act. If you believe, you will act. The primary way you act is by speaking. Then you will not have a corresponding action to what you have said. You will act like the word of God is so. You will act like the word of God is so. You know, if the devil brings an accusation before you, and he reminds you of something, and he tells you of something, you know, the best way is to first of all laugh. And say, devil, you are stupid. Number one, it's not your business. Number two, I have forgiveness of sins. Number three, I'm now going to go out and get somebody born again. You are an idiot for saying that thing. You are a complete idiot. If there's somebody in the Bible that the Bible allows you to use any language against, the devil. Anything you say is okay. If you curse, it's fine. As long as it's the devil, he deserves it all. He deserves all the glory of the shame. Hallelujah. So you will not just say you act upon it. Say, who are you saying to that is no, I'll show you now. I'll show you. Then I'll go out and minister the power of God. I'll go out and preach the gospel. I'll go out and get people born again. I said, do you want to say it again? He said, no, I'm not saying it again. Just go your way. Hallelujah. I dare to act on God's word. He shall have whatever he says. The woman said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately, you know, the Bible says the fount of her blood dried up. Jesus, knowing himself that virtue had left, said, who touched me? Disciples said, Master, we know that we should not say these things, but are you sure you have rested well? Who touched you here? Can you see the people? He said, who touched me? And the woman came and told all that happened. Why did Jesus ask her to say it? Because we need to learn something from it. And he said, go, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I dare tell you something today, that faith aligns with God's purpose and plans. How do I walk with God's plan for my life? My faith aligns with his plans. I say I'm walking in God's plan for my life. I say I'm led by the Spirit of God. I say I'm in the center of God's will for my life. I say that error is far from me. My decisions are well taken. And I don't go ahead and be afraid to take decisions. I go ahead and take the decision. Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Now, when I'm afraid, it's because I'm no longer feeding my faith. I'm now feeding my doubts. You know, there was somebody who was believing God for something. So, I think it was healing. So, I went to check on the person and I saw so many movies. I said, you are not really serious. You know that in these movies, what will make these movies sell usually is bad things. These movies sell better with bad news. Somebody must die. Somebody must lose something. There must be more suspense. They will first of all make evil triumph. Then good will come later. But usually it's that evil that you will remember. And there are some instances the actor will finally die. Now you are watching all that one. And it's all on your mind. You are feeding your doubts. Feeding your anxieties. So when the word of God is taught, that movie will just come back to you. The stories, the blogs you visit, the things you read, the negative things you feed your mind on. You know, they said that WhatsApp is the second largest social media platform, apart from Facebook. You know, WhatsApp really is interesting. People would not know what you are reading. At least on Facebook, I can know. you will know what you are reading. Some people just saw it. There was one guy who said, look, if you forward this thing to me again, I will forward you to the blocked realm. Don't forward this nonsense to me again. Say, no, I'm sorry, I didn't know it came to you. Say, now, no. It came. Don't forward this thing to me again. Don't you have good things to say? There was a time like that, one guy came to my dad. He used to come regularly. And then he would say something, my father now called him. You don't see anything good. He said, after your last prophecy, the one you came, said I founded this industry. You never saw it. Did you know this happened? He never saw it. He said, the next time you come to my house, and you don't have anything good to say, if you dare say it, say I'm going to gun you down. The guy didn't come back again. He was now sending my mom to be telling my dad that things are where everything will be. Why you just always saying something stupid? Some people never see anything well in the body of Christ. Yet, believers in Nigeria have grown. Yet revival is all over Africa, all over the world. Well, they were just saying, the church should be where? The church should be where? The church should be where? For if the church does not take care, God will take care of it. In the church should be careful. Hey, this day, the church will suffer problem. Oh God. That's the only thing you say about the church. What about the outpouring of the Spirit? You didn't see that one. What about the word of God? Say, well, that's what the Spirit is showing me. Tell the Spirit to change what he's seeing. You and the Spirit need to change. Hallelujah. She said. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Therefore, my faith makes me walk in God's plan. Healing is God's plan for me. It's God's plan for me. That my needs are met is God's plan for me. That I'm not confused in life is God's plan for me. Yeah, to serve him with all my life is God's plan for me. So I say it. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth that God is leading me right now. I don't walk in confusion. I walk in the light of life. Darkness be far from me. I walk not in the terror of darkness. I walk under the counsel of the Almighty God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. When I say it, I see it. When I say it, I see it. When I say it, I see it. So when my faith seems weak, I need to feed it. Feed on it. I need to watch the things I'm listening to. The things I'm hearing. You know, when Jesus went to the house of Jairus, and then Jairus' daughter was dead, and he said, oh, she's sleeping. The guys who were crying, that switch, I've never seen it before. The only switch I've seen close to it is, let there be light. The way they switched from crying to laughter, and they started to mock Jesus. You know what he said? He said, you should get them out of here. You need to take out things that mock God's word in your life. Things you read. People around you. My friends know me. I said, don't repeat that again. They also can tell me the same thing. Don't say that one again. Don't say it. I don't like those things around me. You know, if I want to hear bad gist, I know the blogs. Oh, praise God. I know the blogs to go to. You don't come and be the blogger to me. When we are around ourselves, let's remind ourselves of his promises. Hallelujah. Remember the friends of that guy? You know, they brought him through the roof. What good friends. Jesus saw their faith, not his faith, their faith. So I need friends, hallelujah, who will stand in faith with me, who will stand in faith with me, who will believe God with me. I don't need friends that will just be crying. Hey, bale, 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 bale. Anybody can do bale, 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 bale. Bible that says, you know what? We're going to win in this one. We're going to win in this one. We're coming out of this. We're victorious. We're winners. We're more than conquerors. And we say, not the one that will say it in your presence and go and say, but GD, wow, I didn't know that man can be facing such things. After saying we are more than conquerors, those are terrible friends. The one that you see the other friends, you know what? We are in faith about this. We're in faith about this. You know, I had a friend. He was so confused. I said, let's pray. I held his hand. Remember, it was August. I held his hands. August, I think it's 15. I said, today you have direction. You know what to do. He said, you know what? I'm not thinking. What about my ministry? What's going to happen? I said, your ministry is not gone. It's not gone. And we held our hands in his room. I said, today, you keep saying this. Today I have direction. And that direction leads to greater glory in my ministry. That direction caused my ministry to grow strong and long. When he said that, he had actually just left pastoring with no ministry. I said, say it, because we have said it. And we agreed. We agreed. A year, two afterwards, he began pastoring again. And his church is now reaching the whole world. Hallelujah. Those are the kind of friends you should have. We stand in faith together. And we call the things that be not as though they were. Things are looking green, dark, looking very confused. But we speak God's word. And we say, let there be light. And there's light. We say we have direction right now. We say we have direction. And we walk in it. Darkness has no number on us. Darkness has no hold on us. Light is all around. The glory of God is all around. About 25, 26 years ago, we had this meeting. And people opposed us as a church, as a ministry. You know, they did all. They gave us bad press, bad publicity. They did everything for the meeting to look funny. You know, and imagine, the whole hall was empty. We were only able to use a part of it. But I stood on that, on the stage. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm saying this. I told everybody there, I said, we're coming back here. And we're going to fill this place. I'm sure those around me are looking, so we're coming back. Didn't matter to me. So we're coming back here to this same hall and we're going to fill it and people are going to stay outside. Well, a couple of years after, that was where Pastor Wale sang the song, God and Man, Who Died for Man. The same place. And I said it there. I said, I see glory. 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 Dare to say what God is saying. Dare to say what he's saying. It's not good enough to have a good time at camp meeting. Then on Monday you are back to where you were. No! My walls have changed. And my world has changed. My walls have changed. And my world has changed. Let me tell you something shocking again. This is not in my notes. No. At all. Hallelujah. But I promise God I'm going to yield to his spirit. Hallelujah. My words have changed. And my world has changed. I told them. I said, I see glory. We just parked at the part of the hall. In ministry, use your faith. In your marriage, use your faith. In your relationships, use your faith. In your business, use your faith. In your career, use your faith. Don't walk in condemnation. I know you made an error. We all do. We all do. We all do. See, God said he was going to destroy man because man's ways were wicked. The same God came back and said, you know what? I go just stay with you like that. Hallelujah. So I will just stay with you like that. And what will happen now is, you know what? As long as this earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. They and I will not cease. We go to the rough farm together. Hallelujah. So God, the rough farm, in a rough farm. In a rough farm. So no matter the situation, I put his words on my lips. I put his words on my lips. I dare say, I am more than a conqueror. I dare say, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I dare say he will never leave me nor forsake me. I dare say. I stood on that stage. I said, we're going to fill this place. Let me now shock you. Most of those who were there when I said it were not there when it was filled. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The only person that needs to be there is me. Because I was the one who said it. I was the one who said it. I believed it in my heart. It was a tough period. Pastor Lan knows this. She was right there. It was a tough period. People were just, you know, ministry was going. I said, no. I said, I dare say. We're reaching the world. I dare say. I dare say. Because word is working. What a time to laugh at the devil. What a time. See, Some of you need to know this one. It's not for church. There are times you just lock yourself in and just laugh. What a time to laugh at the devil. When I say nothing dies in my hands, I'm absolute about it. What was committed to my trust will never fall. Never! I believe it in my heart. I say with my mouth. Jesus said, if I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, whatever I say, it will come to pass. I take his words literally, literally. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, go ahead. Listen, you know, years ago, I discovered that as I was pastoring, I did it twice, that the church will just struggle and sometimes stop the services. So I sat back, what's going on? And I found out that in my earlier years in ministry, I kept saying, I'm not called to pastor. I kept saying it unconsciously, consciously. So it had gone before me. So after I saw it, I changed it. I am called to pastor. That was how Saints Community started. You need to change what you're saying and say the right things. Say the right things. Don't say, well, I don't know. In ministry, I'm always struggling. I stop saying it. I'm not struggling. Jesus stands by me. Jesus stands by me. And I will not fail. Speak God's word right now. Speak God's word.